Hi, this is Ananda, president of the Hare Krishna community near Washington, D.C. What follows is a Sunday talk recorded at our temple. Every Sunday, we invite the public for meditation, a talk, and a vegetarian lunch. We'd love for you to join us. More information is available at isconofdc.org. That's ISKCON of DC.org. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the talk.
Five ways Krishna grows our faith. And as I mentioned before, the journey, the spiritual journey in Krishna Bhakti is a journey from Shraddha to Prema, Shraddha being faith. And a few years ago, a group of people asked the question, how do we grow spiritually? How does faith actually deepen? And Prabhupada gives the founder of ISKCON, he's sitting over there on the Vyasasan, he gives the definition of faith in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, faith is unflinching trust in something sublime. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. How do we come to that unflinching trust? Can you imagine your life if you had unflinching trust in Krishna? In bhakti, that's something sublime. Sublime meaning supreme, means a person, means Krishna. And our process is to bring us to that relationship of trust. Because you cannot have love if you do not have trust. So how do we get there? And the challenge is not only to stay on the path, but for those of us who have been practicing for many years, is to really reach the goal, to actually have an authentic practice, to actually feel, and to make our faith, our trust, so big, so deep, that it's actually not faith anymore. It becomes fact. And Krishna, as Prabhupada tells us, that's the person we will meet face to face when we get there. That's a beautiful promise. And that's the promise of the practice of God consciousness. So what this group of people did, they asked others to tell them about their faith journey. They asked people to tell their stories. And story after story, year after year, hundreds and hundreds of stories later, they began to see some themes emerging. They began to see the same things coming up in different people's stories. So they categorized these catalysts, right? These things that caused either faith journeys to begin or to deepen along the way. Now, this list of five, it's not the be-all and the end-all. It's not a list to make instant faith soup. It's not even listed in the good book, Bhagavad Gita. But I found this list really helpful, not only because it gave me a sense that I had good things going on in my faith department, but it also helped me look ahead and to make sure that as I lived my life, I would factor in these things, be more aware of them, be more intentional in achieving my spiritual goals and the goals that Krishna and our acharyas, particularly Srila Prabhupada, have given us. And one more thing, when I say Krishna You know, these are five ways that Krishna grows our faith. Why do I put it on Krishna? Because when we look back on our life, I think all of us will be able to say, ah, that was Krishna's mercy. Ah, I see how Krishna guided me there. Ah, that happened. I don't know how that happened. That must be Krishna. And so what a lovely thing to know that we are loved and guided and held by one as beautiful and powerful and sweet as Krishna. Okay, so now I'm going to give you the five things next week. I'm going to give them all together to you now, just in case some of you have to leave early, or just in case some of you fall asleep during the talk. And I want you to take a look. Practical teachings, private disciplines, providential relationships, personal outreach, and pivotal events. Now, I can tell you all of these in Sanskrit as well. Practical teachings, we can call that shastra. Private disciplines, sadhana. Providential relationships, guru. Personal outreach, we can call that sankirtan. And pivotal events, we could say, as karma. But I wanted to stretch them out a little bit. I wanted to use the English terms. I wanted us to take a look at it outside of our bhakti language and then to put it all back in together again into our individual practice. And the words practical, private, providential, personal, and pivotal are important. Practical teachings means teachings taught in such a way that they move us into practice. They move us in faith. They move us into action. Private disciplines. What do we do with our time? How do we spend it with Krishna? Chanting, reading, meditating. What do we do on our own? Providential relationships. When people cross your path that trigger your spiritual life. Sometimes out of the blue, sometimes unexpected. Personal outreach. When you reach out to care for others, what does that do to your faith, to your relationship with Krishna? And pivotal events. When good and not so good things happen that shake our life up.
I feel, Hare Krishna, I feel whenever I get distracted or I am off the path, I'm not following the teachings, and I listen to the lectures by Prabhupada or other sannyasis in Vaishnava Sampradaya, it molds my heart again. Nice. And I feel that I got lost track, and it helps me get back on
practical
the path,
teachings. Yeah. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
So personal outreach. We go out all the time when we meet people. This one particular day, we're doing Harinam, which is congregational chanting on the streets. And this woman jaywalked right across the street and came right over. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I figured, oh boy, here's going to be a confrontation. I said, "We're chanting Hare Krishna. Here, take one of these pamphlets. It'll tell you about it." She goes, "No, I need to know right now why I'm so attracted to this." Mm-hmm. And it just, the outreach was there because we were there, but it also deepened my faith because, you know, we believe Krishna is not different than his name, and we experienced that. But a total stranger, someone who's never come in contact with Hare Krishna, didn't know anything about us, but was instantaneously attracted.
Beautiful.
And then she chanted with us and took a book and hung around for about an hour, but... there's nice. Personal outreach.
Good, good, good. Thank you. And then private disciplines. Anybody feel how that has started your faith? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Mataji. So when I was a child, my mother taught us, me and my brother and sister, as soon as you are done your morning activity, took shower, don't go anywhere in the house. Go to the puja room and bow down to Krishna. So, and I've been doing since then, and it really gives me a good start to the day.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, good. So what we're going to do is go through these again with a little more detail. It's just going to be an overview. Practically, you can do one of these per class. And then after that, we'll have a little time for questions and answers, and then I'm going to veer into another a short presentation. This one is about how we grow personally, and then the other one is about how we are growing together as a community, and I have a few things to say about that. Okay, practical teachings. That's all about getting inspired by the teachings, and that we read and we hear and we moved into action. For example, our mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, basically it means, "Oh Lord, please engage me in your service." It's a call to action. It's a call to activities. It's very practical. And the idea is that jnana is knowledge, but for it to become vigyan, to become realized, to move from the head to the heart, we have to do it. We have to have it on our to-do list. So whatever teachings we read about the Gita values or about forgiveness or about chanting, we don't, as the joke goes, say Bhagavad Gita as it is there on the shelf, and it's beautiful. But you actually take it down and read it, and you actually do it. And here's a nice example of Prabhupada showing this idea of practical teachings. He was in South India, and at that time he was traveling with some newly, his first or second trip back to India, and he had some Western devotees there who were with him, who had been initiated into the Brahminical line, and some of the Brahmins of South India really thought that was not a good thing, that they were unqualified because of their birth, and that was the only way you could be a priest or a brahmana by your birth. And here's how Srila Prabhupada responded. He said, "This is not my philosophy. I am simply acting on Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. These students have given up their bad habits and come to the Brahminical standard, so they are qualified and must be accepted as brahmanas." So he says, "I'm just acting on what it says in the Gita." So practical teachings move us to practice. And by practice, our faith in Krishna develops. So if you're around people who inspire you by their talks, or you listen to certain, keep doing that. Be conscious and aware of what teachings or what books inspire your devotion to Krishna. Because that's a key element in deepening your faith. And even you'll see how Krishna himself speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. He speaks to motivate Arjuna into action. And at the end, he says, "Okay, Arjuna, what are you going to do?" And Arjuna says, "I'm cool. I got it now. I understand. My consciousness is clear. And I'm going to do what I have to do," which was in his case, engage in the war. But that's the whole gist of it, is that it's devotional service, it's active. And the teachings, we need to hear them in a practical way, and we need to allow them to move us into action. The second one on the list here is providential relationships. And there's a beautiful story about Srila Prabhupada and how he met his spiritual master. It's very providential. And how Krishna arranges that, just like how Krishna arranges great books and great teachers. And so his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was speaking. And Prabhupada's friend, Prabhupada was in college at that time, he was a great follower of Gandhi, and Prabhupada's friend said, "Come, I want you to hear this person speaking." And Prabhupada said, "Nah, I've heard many sadhus, saintly people, they used to come to my house all the time, I don't want to go." And his friend, no, please come. This one is actually quite different. I think you like him." Prabhupada was like, "No, I don't want to go." And he said, "Look, I'm your friend. Please come because I'm your friend." So Prabhupada was like, "Okay." And he went to that meeting and he was so struck and so taken by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he knew immediately, this is my guru. He said, I can tell the teachings of Lord Krishna are in good hands. Providential, a moment that changed his life. And it doesn't always have to be a great, powerful spiritual person either. It can be an ordinary person in your life, a billboard, a song. When I was young, I come from a large Irish family. So I had three older sisters and I have three brothers as well. But anyway, my sisters were always playing music on the radio. And there was one song that jumped out and grabbed me. And I think it triggered, when I look back, in a providential way, my spiritual quest. And it was a song by Diana Ross. And she said, do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? And I had to answer no to all of those questions. Do you know where you're going to? No. Do you like the life, the things that life is showing you? No. And it really struck me. Who am I? What am I here for? What is life all about? That, for me, was a providential relationship. And sometimes we become that for others. That we may interact with others in ways that we don't realize that we become a moment in their lives. My good friend Karen, the first time she came here to the temple on New Year's Eve, and I looked over at her at one point and she was feeling a bit cold. And so I just thought, let me give her my chatter. Let me give her something to keep her warm. And that became a big moment for her. For me, I was just doing what I would do for anybody. But for her, she hasn't forgotten that. And that helped her see, oh, the devotees are kind. Maybe Krishna is kind. Providential relationships. Krishna uses them to intersect with our life and open us up to him in relationship. Now, private disciplines, that's an interesting one. There's a beautiful story of Srila Prabhupada. Before he came to America, before he started ISKCON, and he lived in Vrindavan, India, this small sacred town. And in a sacred temple area called Radha Damodar, where he lived, he would rise every morning around 2 o'clock, and he was seen sweeping the courtyard by himself, sweeping. That was his private discipline, his offering to his spiritual master and to the whole disciplic line, and particularly to Rupa Goswami. Private disciplines are what we choose to do to give back to Krishna. Now, Krishna and the acharyas outline certain things, like Ekadasi, right? We have a person who comes here, he's made it his private discipline. He shows up every Ekadasi morning at the temple for Mangalarti. I never see him any other time. He shows it, now I know it's Ekadasi when I see him. He's that regulated. He has made that commitment to his spiritual practice. And chanting, reading Shastra, following the principles, these are all disciplines that have been given to us. And sometimes the word discipline is like, you know, tight and kind of hard and cold, but it's by doing these things that we grow, and we grow spiritually. In fact, Prabhupada initially wanted his disciples to chant 64 rounds a day. That's about 8 hours every day, chanting. You all ready for that? And neither were the devotees at that time. And so then he said, okay, 32. And they were sort of like, ah. And so he was like, okay, 16. At least 16, no less. Encouraging that sense of spending personal, private time with Krishna every day. It's so important to nourish that trust in the heart, to grow our faith. And we do it regularly and we do it consistently. Maybe we can only do 4 rounds. Maybe we can only do 15 minutes. But we should do something every day ourselves at home. Maybe we close the door in our office and we open up the Bhagavad Gita and read a chapter every day. Some private discipline to give back to Krishna. Private disciplines are also time and service. We have devotees coming in and doing service on Sunday or different terms of the week. It's making that commitment. It's making that commitment to nurture, to actually do something from your heart to offer to Krishna. Private discipline is also connected to how much money you give to Krishna. Now here I'm going to make you all really squirm. I'm going to tell you something that we don't talk a lot about in ISKCON. And probably if I mentioned it regularly, you might not come back. But Prabhupada, and in the scriptures, he says that we should be giving 50% of our income to Krishna. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, as my father would say. 50%. And he says 50% to Krishna, 25% for saving, and you live on 25%. And he actually says in various places, he says in one place, the pandemonium of the world would be finished if we gave 50% of our income to Krishna. Don't worry, I'm not going to push this point. But it's so interesting. And here's the thing, Krishna's not a poor man. We're not giving in charity to Krishna. But the point, the process is when we give to Krishna, we tell him, we are going to depend on you more than our money. And that's not easy. We all know that. But that's why Krishna and the acharyas tell us to do it. So that at the time of death, where we cannot take, where nothing matters except our trust in Krishna, that's the only thing we're walking out the door with. And so he wants us to build that now. And that's why Krishna arranges this idea of personal disciplines. So powerful, so impactful in our life. Okay, moving on. Personal outreach. This one's also really powerful because when we begin to try to think about how we can help others, how we can stop or relieve the suffering of others, it often will make us feel unqualified to do so or unable to do so. So it kind of puts us a little bit in the stretch zone. In our line, of course, any type of charity is good, but we particularly focus on trying to give people knowledge, a sense of who they are in reality as an eternal spiritual being. But if you think about Srila Prabhupada at 70, getting on that boat by himself, alone, with no money. That was his personal outreach. That was his decision to do that, to try to give Krishna to others. And it wasn't easy. And personal outreach generally never is easy. But when we teach others, and it doesn't have to be, it can be beautiful, wonderful, and easy too. When we teach others, we learn ourselves. Sometimes Vaisheshika, and personal outreach doesn't always mean going out and just being with the party of people singing and dancing on the street corner or distributing books. Personal outreach can be saying, okay, this Sunday I'm going to come and do the Sunday serve. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to, you know, come in from 11 to 4 and I'm not going to complain about it, and I'm going to do my personal outreach there because Sunday is a time for all of us to come together and new people to come together. But when we do personal outreach, we begin to depend on Krishna more. And again, that's the point. That's the point. That Krishna is trying to help us think more of him and less of ourselves. Now, when Prabhupada came by himself, he also sent his disciples out by themselves in the early days. Go to London. I'll come in a few months when you have a temple. They had nothing. And he just said, depend on Krishna. Krishna will help you. So that was literally being thrown into the deep end. So in our life, we should think, what am I drawn to? What's my calling? How do I feel I could best serve? But maybe you're feeling a bit like, oh God, how could I do that? Or I don't know how to do that. Or I don't even know where to begin. Push yourself a little bit on this, because this is one of the biggest faith builders that Krishna is presenting to us. This sense of, I need to go and do something to help relieve the suffering of those around me. Okay, and then the last one, pivotal circumstances. These are when your karma, your good karma and your bad karma, of course, karma happens every day. It doesn't always have to be fireworks, but these pivotal events are particularly ones that really have a huge impact on your life. Now, there could be good things like a new child being born or, you know, a wedding or those good things, or winning something or achieving something that's difficult, and you're so conscious of Krishna and you're so grateful to Krishna and you're so dependent on him. So that's great. Those things are good. But it's generally when things go wrong. It's generally when Krishna pulls everything away. It's generally when Krishna is saying no and no and no again. And it's generally when we fail that those are hugely impactfully powerful moments in our life. And the challenge of those is that they can sometimes weaken our faith. We think, why is Krishna allowing so much suffering to happen? Why is Krishna doing this to me? I've been, and this is especially true if you've been, you know, on the path for a long time. Why? Why am I not getting what I think I deserve? So we may have feelings that Krishna's letting us down. And how do we interact with these pivotal moments? Because we'll all have them. Mine happened when I was 21 and my best friend just died suddenly. It was like, boom, a wall came down. And I was totally lost. So they'll happen. Illness, finances, you name it, they'll happen. And how do we interpret, or how do we read those pivotal moments in such a way that they deepen our trust and our faith in Krishna? Because even the Shastra says, when Krishna really loves you, he takes things away. And we're like, okay, I like the other kind of love where, you know, things are okay. Taken away, I'm not yet. We're never ready for that. And Prabhupada, again, he's such an example. You read his life story. Everybody should read Prabhupada's life story, and there's tons of books in the lobby about that. He had failure after failure after failure. Even when he came to America by himself, and then he lived in uptown in New York, and then he moved downtown in the Bowery, and he was living in a loft. And at one point, the person he was sharing the loft with just went crazy on drugs and threatened him with a knife. And Prabhupada literally ran out that door with only the clothes on his back. Krishna practically took everything away from him. And still he held on. That he would look back after that. And often we're caught in circumstances in the moment which are so bewildering and so painful and so difficult that we really don't know what to do. And we certainly just hang in there. And that's why in these pivotal moments, having friends, having a community, having wise people around you who you can walk with is really critical. Because they're the ones that can hold you together. They're the ones that can be Krishna's love for you at that time until you're able to go through it and look back and say, yes, Krishna, that actually was really good for me. I really needed to have that happen. But karma and pivotal events, they're coming to us anyway due to activities we've done in our life, and some may have it worse than others. But the key in this particular one is to be able to see Krishna's hand in it, to see Krishna's love. And that may not be very easy, but that's what we have to do. Okay, so I'm going to leave a few moments for questions. The idea of knowing these five is that you can use it as a framework for your life, a framework to see if these things, if I'm allowing these things to happen, if I'm receiving them, if the first three, the practical, or not the first three, but the private, the teachings, the disciplines, the personal outreach, we can actually do those and step up and do that. We really don't have control on providential relationships so much, but we can place ourselves in places where they might happen, and we certainly don't have control over pivotal life events. But we can be more aware of them, and in this way, be intentional in how we live our life to consciously move towards getting that unflinching trust. Remember, that's unflinching trust in something sublime. That's the bhakti definition of faith. Unflinching trust in Krishna. That he is there, he is a person, he is in my life, in my heart, and he loves me and wants me to love him. Okay, so we have a few minutes for questions, because I do want to spend a few minutes on our community. Yes, Balaram Hari.
So, point 1, 2, 3, 4, of those I feel practical teachings we do get from Shastra Guru, providential relationships each and every one of us might have experienced at one point of time in different ways, disciplines most do follow, some are trying to follow. But the last point, pivotal circumstances, it's very hard to put faith in this, that I would like to be a part of pivotal circumstances, because it often means that I have to undergo something which I don't want.
Right.
And how should I put faith in that? I have to undergo something I don't want. Theoretically, I accept that that would transform me and help me. But how do I put faith that I should undergo it? It's very hard for me.
How do you put faith that you should undergo it? Well, first of all, you don't really have a choice to undergo it. And sometimes we describe it as Krishna, that's Krishna's way of operating on our heart. We don't have a choice. And pivotal circumstances are a way that Krishna makes that really clear. We're not in control. We don't know what's around the corner. How many people drive to work every day and they don't come home because they have an accident and they die? Did they plan that? It happens. So circumstances in our life, that's the element that's totally not under our control. And ultimately, nothing's under our control at the end of the day. So the idea is getting in the mindset and the consciousness of how do we respond to that? And that means emotions, it means feelings, it means fear, it means pain, it means suffering, it means being able to feel that in yourself and to feel it in others, and to know that there's no quick fix. You know, when you have an untimely death, or, you know, we all know horrible things that happen, even if you look at big world events like just the whole Nazi and the whole extermination of millions of people, and you think, or horrible things that are going on in the world presently, you think, how can Krishna let that happen? So difficult questions, no easy answers, but that demands more trust than anything else. That ultimately God is good, the universe is good. It's also looking at the philosophy that it's not just our emotional response, but it's using the philosophy. It's a world of suffering. It's temporary. We create our own suffering. We human beings, even if, for example, if you say, "Oh Krishna, why don't you come here in down in and fix things, stop this from happening." If he says, okay, it's just going to happen again, because that's the freedom that we're given as human beings. And then we're influenced by the different modes of nature. And then we do things in our past life that cause things to happen in this life. And so it's both philosophy and then support, friendship, and relationships that help us walk through these events. And we cannot live our life in fear, thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen to me today? Because that's also not healthy. We trust in Krishna. And there's a beautiful verse in our shastras, in our scriptures, that says that even if things happen to me, if I take care, if I take shelter of Krishna, tathenu kampam, right? Who knows that verse? Tathenu kampam, very famous verse about even if terrible things happen, but if I take shelter of Krishna, then you know, I'm able to go through it. That his love is there. I feel it. I see it. Because ultimately, the goal of life is to reawaken our relationship with Krishna. And sometimes, two things: we understand that Krishna minimizes our suffering, which is a way to say, "Oh, Krishna, this is really hard, but I actually deserve a lot more." And sometimes Krishna will use it to wake us up. Because we get so comfortable here in this world. We get so comfortable. And then he goes, boom. And we're like, oh yeah, I forgot. It's not up to me. I'm not in control. I am your servant. I am very insignificant. I am lower than a blade. You know, I'm like, what is it? The blade of grass. I'm like, look at all this grass out there. It's like one in a billion. So two things, he minimizes and he uses, because he cares for us and he loves us and he's trying to remind us who we are and who we are in relationship with him.